If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Reverend Jesse Jackson is here. He is launching an effort to arrange for the release of prisoners on either side, held both by Hezbollah and Israel. Reverend Jackson, welcome to WGN again.
Good to be with you. This is a beautiful place to work. Wow, this is a great scene.
It's funny, we were sitting in here, and in the last hour, watching you sitting on one of the park benches out there, essentially, and I've never seen you sitting quietly. You're always a man of action. What were you thinking about out there?
Well, really thinking about the mission. When the war first started 30-odd days ago, the Middle Eastern Council of Churches leadership tried to get us to bring a delegation there. It was impractical at that time. Bombs were falling. The airport had been bombed and bridges bombed. You couldn't get in, among other things. But we were all praying for some end to the bombing and the counterbombing. And so now that there is a ceasefire, we pulled together an ecumenical body of religious leaders, a group that we took really to Yugoslavia to bring three captives home at some point in time. And really to make a moral appeal. It's a humanitarian mission. One, to expand and continue the ceasefire and to honor it. And two, for the UN troops to get in quicker, should I say. Those persons in Haifa who were hit by the bombing and injured, and those hit in Lebanon, humanitarian relief, but make a moral appeal to release the soldiers. We have no... we can't touch them as we touch the soldiers who were in jail in, say, Yugoslavia. We first want to know their status. Are they alive? We do not know that. We need to know, are they alive?
How many prisoners are you talking about?
There are three Israeli soldiers, one in the south and two in the north. There's some place there. There are a couple of journalists, it seems, that are in...
Fox journalists.
Someplace in Gaza. We're going to meet with... Syria on this, going to Syria and meet with Assad on next week. He is a big factor in all of this stuff now, because Syria is relating to Hamas and Hezbollah and Lebanon and Iran, and we're not relating to either of those forces diplomatically, and yet they have such big cards in this whole conflict. And so we're really going to make a real appeal to him to help us in the process.
Well, where will you go first, Reverend? Where's the first stop, do you know?
Syria, and then Lebanon, and then Israel. You know, the three Israeli soldiers captured, knowing their status is important and getting their freedom would be the ultimate. And then the two journalists who are somewhere, we think, in the Gaza.
Yeah.
We want to make strong moral appeal to whomever it concerns to see the value in releasing them. And so a part of our mission is the humanitarian thrust of support for those who are injured because of the war, and part is to maintain the ceasefire, but it also to seek the status of those soldiers and ultimately gain their freedom is our real desire.
What can you say, though, that has not been said? It's clear what's happening here. There's two groups that are with war with each other, and they're happy to kill each other, let alone negotiate with you.
But they're not just two groups involved. I mean, the U.S. is involved in this. Iran is involved. Syria's involved. And so the three biggest players are playing the long handled spoon.
Should we be talking to Iran?
Of course. You should talk even with your enemies unconditionally, but agree conditionally. Unless you talk, you cannot persuade, not neutralize, not influence. And so talking matters. And so in the absence of talk, you have fighting. Should you have diplomatic talks or preemptive strikes? I submit to you, diplomacy works better over the long haul.
But talking also legitimizes. And the United States, for instance, doesn't negotiate with terrorists for obvious reasons.
Well, suppose they do not need our legitimacy to make bombs. They don't need our legitimacy to sell oil. Maybe we're not the only source of giving that legitimacy these days. And so I think that we use the word terrorist in a way that blurs out rational thinking. We are we have diplomatic ties with China. There's an awful lot of oppression that goes on in China. We have diplomatic ties with countries in the Middle East that have no intent to move toward democracy. So I say, let's focus on these three things. Right now, expand the ceasefire. be humanitarian relief to those who are trapped and were trapped in Haifa and Lebanon, and three, try to gain the release of those who are held captive, both in Gaza, the journalists, as well as the three Israeli soldiers. And hopefully that could jaw or loose something, a broader exchange.
I don't question your ability, because you've done this sort of thing before, but do you worry a little bit that you could make things worse, too? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I do not, because really they couldn't get worse. Right now we have fought a war, and the war is over, and we still do not have the soldiers.
Well, it's a tinderbox over there. That thing could explode at any time.
Well, and how can we reduce the tenderness? And that's where the issue right now, the U.S. cannot talk with Iraq, cannot talk with Iran or Syria, and yet they have the cards on the other side of the table. If you remove the ability to talk with the forces that you're in conflict with, you cannot resolve the conflict. You know, right to the heart of the Cold War, we never stopped talking to Russia. It was the right thing to do. And they had missiles that could hit New York. We never stopped talking with China, because when you negotiate from power, you can change things. We got the power, but we've given up the negotiation. So without negotiation, what do we have? Preemptive strikes. And we fight, and we die, and there's not enough to show for it.
What do you say to your critics who say that Jesse Jackson inserts himself into these sorts of situations, and maybe your presence there is as much about you as it is about the objective at hand?
Well, you have to dismiss those kind of charges. When I went to Lieutenant Robert Goodman was in Syria, he had been down as an American pilot, and I touched base with our State Department respectfully, and I touched base with Syria that we were not talking with Assad at that time. And I appealed to Assad to release him, and keeping him as a trophy was not a good thing. And we gained his freedom. It was the right thing to do. It was a risk. The risk was that no action take place. I was asked when I got back, say, difference between you and President Reagan, what happened? I said, I tried. I talked. I made a moral appeal, and it worked. We went to Cuba. Americans had been in jail there some 25 years. And I challenged Castro to let them go, and he did, because we asked him. We went to Iraq. There were 700 Americans, French and British, who were going to be used as human shields. We made the case why he let them go. We went to Yugoslavia, and there were three American soldiers there. And we argued the case with Milosevic, let them go, and he did. So our approach and our appeal works.
How is it different than what President Bush could do or is doing?
Well, right now, I'm going to meet with President Assad next week. President Bush can't talk with him. We've given up the leverage of talking. At some point, I was asked the other day by one of the ambassadors, would you talk with Iran or Hezbollah or Hamas? I would say yes. If they could release the soldiers, if they could set the journalists free, I would talk with them. Because I believe you talk unconditionally. You agree. You don't have to agree with people you talk with, but you've got to be able to talk to persuade.
Seems like a lot of times when Hezbollah, for instance, talks, when Saddam Hussein used to talk, it would just be talk, and then they would do whatever they would want to anyway. That they didn't really respect words, they respected force.
Well, it's a combination of talking is a form of force. We talk, we leverage trade, we leverage relationships, we leverage military. I mean, all of these are in our arsenal. But if you only have in your arsenal bullets and bombs, they apparently have limitations. We've got enough bombs in Iraq, but it ain't working. We have enough bombs, you know, in the 34-day war, but it didn't get the soldiers back. So the bomb, the military must be the force behind negotiations, must be behind diplomacy. And right now, our appeal is not so much the politics of Og and military as it is, if we can convince those on the ground, these religious leaders, to help encourage expanding the ceasefire, help encourage getting relief to those in Haifa and Lebanon who are hurt, and somehow make the right appeal to the right force, please, if you will, let those soldiers and let those journalists go. That's our appeal. Yeah. Please let them go.
I have less than a minute left, but I just wanted to ask you a question about something entirely off this subject. Andrew Young stepped down from the head of an advocacy group for Walmart the other day because of remarks he made that were believed to be, I won't characterize them, but they were about race. You're familiar with those. Do you have anything to say about what has happened in that story?
He was wrong by his own admission, and I saw him on television today.
Yeah,
I talked with him today, as a matter of fact, and he profoundly expressed his apology and is a decent guy. He talked out of school, as it were. And I hope that those who've watched him work across these centuries, across these years, will find their hearts to forgive him so we can forgive, redeem, and move on.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
It's nice to see you, Reverend. Good luck to you on this trip when you come back, hopefully successfully. I hope we can visit again.
We need your prayers. I've talked with the wife of one of the soldiers and with the father, and I just hope that somehow our moral appeal will fall on fertile soil, and that somehow those journalists and those soldiers will be set free, and that could trigger a dynamic that can in fact expand more hope for the region.
Reverend Jesse Jackson.